V'yetzi Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, v'yelech Harana. Even though we already told us at the end of last week's parasha, we apparently have some repetition. Yaakov leaves Be'er Sheva, he goes in the direction of Haran. V'yifka b'makom, v'yelen sham, kiva shemesh, v'yikach me'avnei makom, v'yosem b'roshotav, yishkav makom ahu. Look at that, I missed a makom. It doesn't tell us where Yaakov is. Of course, if we were indoctrinated at a young age, then we know exactly where it is. But it's interesting because there is no mention to the exact location. It says, "Vayifka b'makom." He rests there. Why? Why did he pick this place? Because the sun went down. So the sun goes down, so you don't travel when it's dark. So he stops. He doesn't seem very well prepared for travel, and he doesn't have his sleeping bag. He didn't bring his pillow with him, so he needs to use rocks from the place, and he rests in that place. And then, of course, he has a wonderful dream, which, without any embarrassment, Led Zeppelin stole. Why are you the only one laughing? No. Those who heard. Those who didn't hear it wouldn't have helped at all. Ima, did you ever hear of Led Zeppelin? Okay. What? So you should sing it. You should try to sing Zmiris to that tune this Shabbos. It won't work. Stairway to heaven. Led Zeppelin. Okay. Le'echlom v'hinei sulam utzav arza. He sees a ladder which is established on the ground. Uroshom agiya shemaima, while its head is up in the heavens. V'hinei malachei elokim olim v'yodim bo. And he sees angels going up and down. V'nei Hashem nitzav alav, and God is what's the alav? Is the alav Yaakov, or is the alav the sulam? That was a question. How do you know?
Yeah.
No, it was 100%. I would have said, how do you know either way?
He just talked about the sulam, and then he says God's.
He also just talked about him. V'nei malchei elokim olim v'yodim bo. Sounds like it's the sulam. V'nei Hashem nitzav alav. Alav is a very funny word. What does it sound like? Is it Yaakov, or is it the sulam? Okay, we'll decide later. V'yomer ani Hashem elokei Avraham avicha v'elokei Yitzchak ha'aretz asher ata shochev aleha l'cha etnena ulazarecha. Ah, so where is he then? This land, what you're laying, I'm going to give to you in your descendants. So where is he? We still don't know. Or though it sounds like it's part of Israel. V'yazaracha ka'afar, which if you ask certain people, could be any place from at least a lot all the way into, how far north? All the way to the Euphrates, right? It could be any place over there. V'yazaracha ka'afar ha'aretz, which is a very interesting metaphor, being just said that you're going to get this land and your descendants will be like the afar ha'aretz. Uforatz t'yama v'kedva v'tzafona v'negba. So obviously they have to be someplace in the middle because you're going to burst forward north, south, east, and west. V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachot haba uv'zarecha. V'nei anochi imach u'shmarticha b'chol asher tilech v'ashivoticha el ha'adama hazot ki lo ez v'cha ad asher im asiti et asher divarti lach. Which means you have to feel bad for Yaakov. Right? He has so many blessings. He has so much coming to him. He has all these things he took last week, and he doesn't have a place to sleep. Everything that Yaakov has at this point is in potential. Nothing's real. But he's promised. God says, everything will be fulfilled. And by the way, this is a good parsha, because by the time you get to the end of this week's parsha, you know, we're on the way. We're on the way in terms of every single one of the brachot. And he gets to come back home after only one parsha, which is not so bad. V'yikatz Yaakov mishnato. Yaakov wakes up suddenly from his dream, from his sleep, from his slumber. V'yomer achen yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. And there we find that word again, makom. He says, God is in this place. V'nochi lo yadati. Which is, that's the part which is strange. That God is there is not strange. That Yaakov doesn't know is what's strange. Yaakov was obviously from California. What does he say? How awesome is this place? But this is a use of awe in its real sense. This is a place full of awe. Right? Ein ze ki im beit Elokim v'zeshar ha-shamayim. This is the Beit Elokim, which is a very strange use. What is it? What Beit Elokim is here? Do you see a Beit Elokim? There is no Beit Elokim here. But Yaakov says this is a Beit Elokim. So again, Yaakov is somebody who, what was he promised? That all of the promises will come true. That right now things only exist within potential, things don't exist within reality yet. So Yaakov apparently is developing within himself an ability of seeing things, to see the potential of things. And once you can see the potential, once you believe, you really believe, you internalize this blessing that God says, you will have all these children. You will have like the dust of the earth. You will inherit this land. And once you're able to see the word through God's promise, what happens at that point? You're able to see all kinds of other things you didn't see before. What does he now see? He sees Beit Elohim standing in front of him. So based upon this, where would you say Yaakov is? It sound that's what it would indeed sound like. V'zeh shar ha-shamayim. And this is the opening up to heaven. And by the way, this is a very real sense that we have. Certainly when we're in Israel, even more so when we're in a place which is even the holy places in Israel, you absolutely feel, again, I'm speaking for all of us, so you can't argue. One absolutely feels that when they're in Chutz La'aretz, you feel that you pray and the prayers go up and and you face Jerusalem and the prayers travel to Jerusalem and from Jerusalem they go up into heaven. But when you're in Israel, it's a local call. Like in Israel, it goes straight up into heaven. You know, it doesn't have to travel across the ocean. And that's what Yaakov senses over here. This is Shar HaShemayim. This is the place that the prayers go up into heaven. Of course, what's the background of all of this discussion and all of these feelings of Zionism? He's leaving. So it's especially when you leave that you get the sense of what's special about the place that you're at and what's going to be lacking in the place that you're going to. V'yashkem Yaakov v'bokev yikach et ha'evin asher sami roshotah v'yasam oto matzevai v'yitzok shemen ha'roshah v'yikra et shem ha'makom hazeh shem ha'makom ha'hu Beit El. He calls this place Beit El, the house of God. V'ulam luz shem ha'ir l'rishonah. V'yidur Yaakov neder. Yaakov makes a neder. Le'mor im yeh Elokim imadi u'shmarani b'derech hazeh asher nochi halech v'natan li lechem l'chol beged l'vosh, and so on. The last thing that Yaakov does is he makes a neder, and he says that he will build a Beit Elokim. V'even azot asher samti matziva yeh Beit Elokim. A neder, by the way, according to the Rishonim, a neder comes from the word of Dira la Hashem, a house of God. And that's what a neder is. Rabbeinu Bachaya, if you look in this week's portion, says that when you take something which is unholy and you put holiness in it, now it becomes a house for God as well. So therefore the parallel over here between the neder that Yaakov makes, the content of the neder that he makes, the content of the neder that he makes is to build a house for God. A neder itself is a house of God, and a house of God is what he promises to make. So therefore you have a direct parallel between what he is talking about and how he's talking, between the form and the content.
Here the Torah tells us that the place was called Luz.
Right.
So, but Luz, we don't have a tradition that tells us that Luz is where the Beit HaMikdash is.
So I'll tell you. First of all, there's more than one Luz. Second of all, we don't know. We just don't know. is this place the place that the Beit HaMikdash would stand? Part of the problem is, if you look in the Rishonim, part of the problem is, what is the direction of the ladder? Does the ladder point upwards? Or does it point on an angle? So if it's on an angle, it could be traversing far more land. And therefore, where is it that he senses? Maybe he's laying over here, but he sees it going up, and where it goes up is where you would call Makom HaMikdash. So I'm just saying the direction or the angle of the ladder would make a big difference in terms of trying to figure out where Yaakov is. But what is much more interesting to me is the multiple uses of the word Makom, right? Makom, Makom, HaMakom. And why would he use the term HaMakom? What does HaMakom mean? Okay, so we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that also. HaMakom is the place. Hey HaYidiyah. HaMakom. The definitive place. Which means we shouldn't be all that surprised when Yaakov actually comes back. And by the way, God has to remind him, Yaakov, you made a vow. You remember that? You're back. You have some clothing. You have some kids. You're back in the land. What happened? Which is the downside of making vows, because if you make vows and you don't keep them, then all kinds of things could happen. And if you want to hint at that, this is next week's portion, but look what happens before God comes and reminds him of his vow. V'yalma yalav elokim b'makom asher diberito. I am in source 2.
The whole vow itself is a little strange, because God,
it's very strange,
has finished telling him, right, that I'm with you and I'm going to watch, right, you and I'm going to take care of you. And then he makes this vow saying, if you do this, then you can be my God. And a conditional,
correct,
vow.
Correct.
When he's just been promised that God is going to do exactly
that. Unless, as far as he's saying to God, it's not conditional. It's when all this happens. But you're right, he uses the condition. Over here again, it starts with Bamakom. Vayetzev Yaakov Matseva Bamakom Asher Dipo. Matsevet Avin. Vayesach Alav Nesach Vitzok Alav Shemen. Vayikra Yaakov Et Shem Hamakom Asher Dibeto Shem Elokim Beit El. Which sounds like a direct continuation of what we had seen in the first time that Yaakov has his dream. It sounds like it's the same place. Furthermore, if you go back to the Akedah, you find... You have to go look. You want everything? It's next week's parasha after he comes back to Israel. What I was referring to, it's right after the whole story of Dina. That's what I was referring to. Because then already he's in Israel, he settles in Israel, and he doesn't keep the vow yet. And after that whole chapter, God comes and says, what happened to the vow? So then one has to wonder what the connection is there. Perikav bed, v'yashkem avim baboker, we'll let you know. Vayelech el hamakom asher amar Elohim, v'yom ha-shlishi, v'yar et hamakom et merachok, v'yavo el hamakom asher amar Elohim, v'yikra avim shem hamakom ahu Hashem yireh. Now, if you notice the usage of hamakom over here as well, and here it's, again, each time it's definitely hamakom and hey hayidiyah, one could certainly make the argument that what if we have by Yaakov, which anyway we think it's Beit Elokim, would be a very similar place to where Avram has his experience. Nonetheless, the Gemara focuses on the fundamental difference between Avraham and Yaakov, or between Yaakov and Avraham, and it throws Yitzchak in as well when it gets to their orientation to holiness. And it tells us in Source 4, V'amar Rabbi Lezer, Maidachtiv, what does it mean? It says in Yeshayahu, V'hohu Amim Rabim, that many nations will come, V'amru, and they're going to say, L'chu v'na'ale el har Hashem, el Beit Elokei Yaakov. Let us go up to the mountain of God, to the house of the God of Jacob. Now, the Gemara notes, Elokei Yaakov, v'lo Elokei Avraham v'Yitzchak. Why is it? Why is it the God of Yaakov and not the God of Avraham and Yitzchak? The Gemara continues, Ela lo ka'Avraham shekatuv bo har. By Avraham, it speaks of har. Because what is Avraham, when he has his epiphany, he sees the place from afar, he then goes to this place. What does he call it? Right, it's referred to as a har. Behar Hashem Yira'eh. Avraham relates to a mountain. He climbs this mountain, sees something by the mountain, but fundamentally it's the mountain that he relates to. V'lo ki Yitzchak shekotuv bo sadeh, v'yetzi Yitzchak l'soach ba sadeh. That Yitzchak's place of finding godliness is in a field. Ela ki Yaakov shekara ubayit, as it says, v'yikra et shem ha-makom ahu beit el. That Yaakov relates to bayit, which seems to mean that Yaakov apparently has a stronger sense of house than the others, and I want to understand that, because I don't think that's all that simple. Turn for a moment.
Of course.
But turn for a second to source 12 on page 2. The Akedat Yitzchak writes, which is good considering what he's going to talk about. But the only reason I picked this source, you can find this on many sources, but it's very succinct over here. V'zesha katav Avraham b'har Hashem yirev Yitzchak ne'mar l'soch b'sadeh uv'yakov ein ze ki'im beit Elokim, right, the three verses we just now saw that the Gemara quoted, af ki b'met makom akedah v'tfilat Yitzchak u'mishkav Yaakov shloshen hayu l'dat chazal b'makom echad. It's all the same place. Because don't get fooled, it's all the same place. It's not three different places. And by the way, in terms of the pshat, it's not so simple. It's not so simple that Yitzchak, when he went to pray in the field, he's living in Beersheba, and he goes to pray in the field. It's not so simple that the field that he goes to is all the way up by Har HaMoriah to pray. But nonetheless, that's what Chazal wants you to understand. That the sense of holiness of all three was the same place of holiness, even though the articulation of the holiness is going to be different and be individual. Which means if we really wanted to pursue this, we could try to figure out what is there about Avraham which relates to Har, and what is there about Yitzchak that relates more to Sadeh, and what is there about Yaakov which relates specifically to Bayit. And I'm not going to go that far into it, even though there is a lot to say about this.
Does the act make them holy? Does the act, the prayer makes it the holy place?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. I mean, where does the holiness over here come from? Is it something which is innately holy? Or is it something which becomes holy because of what happens over there? I won't answer. In source 13, in the Megale Amukot, Rav Shapira writes, Esa einai ela harim, lift your eyes up to the mountains. Shahoyu kan shnei harim. There are really two mountains in Judaism. Har HaMoriah, the Har Sinai. Correct? One is where the temple will one day stand, or one day stood, and the other is where the Torah is given. Zeh shekotov Yaakov, achen yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, shehu ha-makom, sorry, I have to say it again, shehu ha-makom shehitpa'alu avotav, v'kara Avraham sham ha-makom, ahu Hashem yireh, l'chein amar l'kodesh baruch hu nochi elokei Avraham avicha shekara har Hashem yireh. Which means he says, no, this is the place. You have found the place that Avraham has prayed as well. V'yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, ach shehar Sinai yevo gam kein l'kan ze lo yadati. Which means, if you'll imagine again this ladder on an angle, he understands it's the same place. And don't bother me with a lesson in geography. I don't want to hear about it. I mean, there are midrashim, we've discussed this years ago, if any of you remember. There is a midrash, a beautiful midrash, that says that original Har Sinai was part of Har Moriah, and just like when a woman makes challah, she takes off challah min ha'isa, she takes off, that's what God did. God took challah from Har HaMoriah and put it over there, and it became Har Sinai. But it's the same mountain, and one day it will merge again, and you'll see it's the same mountain. When you read a midrash like that, so what are you going to say? Which means the midrash knows that geographically it's not the same place. But what are they telling you? Don't bother me. It's the same place. Right? Whereas Marian said, spiritually it's the same place. Don't bother me with geography. It makes no difference. It's the same place. Although there may be a fundamental difference between the two, which I want to get to. Jane? Yes. Correct. Correct. There's many, many links between the two. In my book on holidays, I have a whole essay connecting the Akedah with Har Sinai. And I don't remember how many different connections I have there. It continues and it says over here, Achshahar Sinai yavo gam kein lekan zelo yodati v'tzaloma al Har Sinai shenenu bo aseret hadibrot. By the way, you notice what he's focusing on? Which word? Anochi lo yadati. It's the Anochi. So where is the Anochi from? From the Seret Hadibrot. Road. Anochi lo yadati, which means I didn't realize it's the same place that Torah will come down. Right? Seret Hadibrot, shehitchilatan Anochi. Gimel pa'amim makom, bizeh ha-pasuk, v'yifka b'makom, v'yifkach ma'avnei makom, v'yishkav b'makom ahu. Why three times does it say makom right here? Lefi dat razal, according to the rabbis, shehu elu beit ha-mikdash banui, charuv u'banui. That he sees the beit ha-mikdash, sees it standing, falling, standing. See, what's interesting about this is that, you know, we have this, we're all quite familiar with this idea of the theory of conservation of people, right? In Midrash, it's always the same people coming again and again. So now we also have a theory of conservation of places, right? There's one holy place in Judaism. What's it called? Har. It's called Har. It's one holy place. And don't bother me that Yitzchak was davening in a Sadeh 100 miles away. It's the same place. And don't bother... Yeah, mountains. It's the same place. It's
not a mountain of the streets on top. It's kind of flattish, you know, like a plateau.
Well, now
it's the same place.
I'm saying to him, it's a field, but it's also mountains. It can be the same.
You see, if you
look
according to the act, then it's the same place because you reach the same place.
Right, right. And by the way, if I will point out, I think that Har Sinai and Har Hamoriah are fundamentally different. What's the difference between the two? Well, what did Yaakov see? Again, let's try to understand this a little deeper. What does Yaakov see? He sees angels, and what are they doing? Which one does it start with? Just read it. Read the words. Yeah, by the way, that's strange, because what would you have thought? It should have been Yerdim v'Olim. But he sees Malachim, Olim v'Yerdim. He sees angels going up and coming down. Which means this is a place which is, it's a conduit. It's where things get up into heaven and things come down from heaven. What's the difference between Har HaMoriah and Har Sinai?
Just come down.
See, wasn't that easy? By Har, you're very good. You're very good today. That by Har HaMoriah is where our prayers go up into heaven, and Har Sinai is where the Torah comes down to us. And maybe these things are connected, and maybe that's what the Midrash is trying to tell us. But nonetheless, when we get to this idea of Makom, we're trying to be told there is fundamentally this one makom.
Like Har HaMoriah does have consistent
kedusha. Right, Har Sinai still has kedusha, but the kedusha is in Har HaMoriah.
One second.
And that's what the Ramban insists when he goes throughout Sefer Shemot by telling us that that's the purpose of the Mishkan, to take the kedusha that was by Har Sinai and bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. It's the same kedusha, it's the same experience, and now we're told even it's the same place.
It was a one shot deal.
Right. So therefore the kedusha of the Mishkan is the same kedusha. Mm-hmm. There's many, many verses to back that up.
So, yes. The ladder was like this. 1 foot in Har Moriah, 1 foot in Har Sinai. And they go up and down.
Okay. The ladder was open. Okay. Which means having a sense of makom, right? What is makom? Having a sense of makom, which means has a sense of holiness, security. The Maharal goes so far as to say that the word makom comes from the word of mikayem. What does it mean, mikayem? Existence. It's having a sense of place, feeling at home, is what gives you existence. What's the matter, Marion?
Good.
You like the Maharal? Want to see it? It's in. I hope it's here. Source 22. One second. Hadvarim yesh lam kiyum b'makom kimo she'amru ein lecha davar she'ein lo makom v'amakom notein kiyum l'davar shehu b'makom. And then where it's underlined, l'kach nechor makom shehu mikayem hadavar she'omed bo. That the place is what gives you existence. No, okay. So what's obviously then you can think of, what about people that don't have a place? What about people that I'm not just talking about homelessness. I'm talking about something which is worse than that. Let's just continue here. Ukasher gola mimkomo ki'ilu batel kiyumo. When a person leaves their place, it's as if part of their existence disappears. Ukumosha hamita mechaperet ala adam kacha galut shehu batul davar shehu kiyumo mechaper. And there's something about galut which brings about forgiveness, both for the murderer and for the nation. Now let's go back and understand what exactly he's speaking about here. If you look at source number 5, we find that Cain kills Hevel. What's the punishment for killing Hevel? Right? Vata arura tamin adamar, asher patz tad piya lakachet me'achich midecha, source 5, page 2. Ki ta'avod et adamar lo tesif tet kochalach, na v'nad tia ba'aretz. It's interesting. The land won't give you strength anymore, but rather you will need to wander about. So over here, we have the opposite case of a lack of makom. A lack of makom. But by the way,
displaced.
Now, I'm not sure if you'll be able to answer this question, but you can try. Why are you not allowed to kill somebody? Why are you not allowed to kill somebody? Aside from the fact that you were told this from the time you've been at least in kindergarten onwards, not nice to kill, please don't kill anybody. Almost. Why can't you kill? I'm not going to make the... It says in the Chumash, why can't you kill? What does it say? Right, it says you can't kill somebody because they're B'Tselem Elokim. Right? Are we making this up? I didn't put this in the sources. In Perek Tet Pasuk Vav, in Bereshit, it says, Shofech dama adam, be'adam, damo yishofech. Ki b'tzelem elokim asat adam. Why are you not allowed to kill? Because a person is b'tzelem elokim. So that means, what happens when you kill somebody? What are you lacking? I know that you killed them. It's much worse than what I'm saying. I understand that. But what does the Chumash say? Forget about what we think. What does the Chumash say? When you kill somebody, what are you lacking?
The place where
you lack an appreciation of that person's kedusha. Right? Why can't you kill? Ki b'tzelem elokim asata adam. That means this person has tzelem elokim. What happens when you kill them? That means that you had a total lack of appreciation of tzelem elokim. By the way, the same thing is obviously true when you embarrass somebody. And we're told you embarrass is that you kill them. What happens when you embarrass them? You have no awareness at this moment that this person standing in front of you is actually b'tzelem elokim. And if you were able to really sense that tzelem elokim within the person, the easiest mitzvah in the Torah would be v'haftarecha kamalcha. But why is it so hard for us? Because we don't always see. And by the way, sometimes people work very hard not to let us see the tzelem elokim. But we can't fall for their games. What are we told? Every single person has a tzelem elokim. So when you killed somebody, what have you done? You have refused to see holiness. You refuse to see something which is mekayem the person, causes him to exist, his existence. You get rid of his existence, now what do you lose? You lose your kiyum. You lose your kiyum, your makom. And now what do? Now you have to wander. Now you lose the sense of stability. That made sense?
Is the person.
Right.
And therefore, when you kill a person, you got rid of the place. But the
correct. You cause galut of the neshama, so now you have to do galut as well.
I don't understand why if you don't give this sense of security, why you would do it.
Well, that's your punishment. It's midah keneged midah. Okay.
So how does that compare to galut?
What's interesting also is that till when does a person have to wander if they killed? Not the king. That's what makes it interesting. Till the Kohen Gadol who presides over the Makom Kadosh Biyoter right? The Kohen Gadol who presides over the Beit HaMikdash, HaMakom, when he dies, which seems to then just cause an entire sense of displacement, as it were, and at that point, there's so much national displacement, then you push reset when that happens. But that's in verse, that's in source number 6. V'itzilei da'at ha'ratzeach miyad go'al adam v'yishiva oto ha'edah el ir miklato asher nas shama v'yoshav ba'ad mota kohen gadol asher mashach oto b'shemen ha'kodesh, which is very interesting that when over here in this context, how does it describe the kohen gadol? In terms of the oil. Do you remember also noticing over here multiple times in terms of Yaakov and the oil that this is the makom. I guess we're in Kislev, so we should start talking about oil soon. But that's for you. That what? Already selling donuts. You know where we donuts, right? I said this last year. You know where we donuts. It's the reverse of the Hanukkah miracle. Here you have enough oil for 8 days and one donut. That's not a joke. Anyway.
Equal the shemen to what?
Say that again. Oh no, the shemen here is all. Shemen is also mentioned back by Yaakov when he sees this place. He pours oil on it as well. I think it's just very interesting that this is the way it describes the Kohen Gadol. If it would have just said the Kohen Gadol, we all would have known who he's talking about. Okay. By the way, on the other hand, there are other uses of makom which just destroy everything that we were talking about till now. If you look in source number 7, you'll notice Makom used also multiple occasions. Vayomar Nashim Elot, On Milopo, Chatanu Vanech, Venetech, Vakala Shelacha, Be'ir Hotzi Min HaMakom, Ki Mashkitim Anachno Et HaMakom, and afterwards, Kumu Tzu'u Min HaMakom. So, therefore, everything we said till now, forget. Because you just see that HaMakom is used exactly in the same way, and we're not talking about Avram going up to the Akedah. Over here, we're talking about, obviously, the destruction of the city of Sodom. And things are not as clear as they were 2 minutes ago. Where's the first time that the word makom is used? So don't guess. Look at the next source. All the way back within the first 10 verses of Bereshit. Vayomer Elokim yikavu hamayim mitachat hashamayim el makom echad. Gather all the water to one place. And what happens when you gather the water to one place? Then you'll be able to see the dry land. Because if the water, till this point, is all over the place, you need to gather the water together to one place. Which means, over here, makom is connected to a gathering together. Gather together to one place. But by the way, in the next verse, it says, V'yikra lokim lebasha eretz ulamikveh mayim koroyamim. The gathering of the water. But you notice what word is used there for the gathering? He calls it a mikveh. If you look at the Targum, how does the Targum translate mikveh? Source 9. Ukura Hashem liyavashta ara ulebet knishit. Same word as Beit Knesset. What's a Beit Knesset? A place of gathering. What's a mikveh? A mikveh is a Beit Knesset. How's that for what the Targum is telling us? This is a place of holiness, which means hamakom over here, or makom, which is used for the first time, is referring to something which all of us know as a mikveh. This is where the word comes from. This is a place of holiness. And when the Targum was looking for a word to describe mikveh, I find it fascinating. The word that he used was Beit Knesset. And of course, we know that a Beit Knesset is absolutely connected to the idea of the Beit HaMikdash as well. No, no, no.
Makom is not Beit HaMikdash, is it?
Doesn't sound like it.
Right, because there's water there.
Right. Which means even though we keep saying there's one place of holiness, it seems that the one place of holiness has many different places.
This is different from the original separation of the waters, right?
Correct. Correct. Upper and lower, and then once it's lower, it's all gathered together in one place.
Why is there holiness attached to the water?
It's not just water, it's gathered water that creates holiness. Why it seems to be this place of purity, of going back to the beginning of how things are supposed to be. But it's interesting about gathering things together. Later on, when Rashi describes the creation of man in Source 10, Afar min ha'adama, tzavar afro mikol adama ba'arba ruchot. He gathered together all of the adama together to make man. Shakol makom sheyamut, and this is interesting, for wherever man will die, He can be buried because he can return back to its place, back to its natural place. To return to nature. Interesting. But it's also...
Because without the gathering of the water and without the Yavashah, there is no
Mm-hmm. Then you look and you see right afterwards, Rashi gives a second interpretation of what it means. Davar acher natal afro mimakom. He took it from the place. What's the place? What? He doesn't say clear enough. It says mizbeach adamata aseli. He's talking about the mizbeach. If you look in the Targum Yonatan or the next source, it says v'yikach afar mimakom beit hamikdash. That means that every single person who has tzelem elokim, what else do they have? We're from afar adama. From which adama are we from? So we saw two interpretations. One interpretation is we are from every single place. So what's makom? Makom is every place. What's the second interpretation we're saying now? It's specifically the Beit HaMikdash. That's what we're made of. You see a person, you should see within them a little piece of Beit HaMikdash in them, a little piece of Tzelem in them. And that's exactly, by the way, is this only Jews? Every single person, Tzelem Elokim, every single human being is made up. Their body is made up. By the way, this is the physical part. The spiritual part, we already know, comes from Tzelem, right? Comes from God. This is the physical part of every single person, of what do they have within them? They got a little bit of Beit HaMikdash in them. We are stardust. Okay, we started with that. Okay. What?
It's like a toggle. In the one sense, it reveals boundaries. To gather something together means there's a difference between us and them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But at the same time, we're being told that the very source of the boundaries is the thing that's also common.
That's what's very interesting, because you would think that what is makom? This is Shar HaShamayim. This is the most specific place. But on the other hand, no, there's in every place, Makom could be everything. There's something which is very unclear. If everything is unclear to you at this point, it's very good. It means you understand. There's something very unclear about the use of Makom. I mean, we see Makom in terms of Avram. We see Makom in terms of Yaakov. We see Makom in terms of the destruction of stone, and say, hold it. Why does Churban, that's what it is, it's a Churban. Why does Churban have a sense over here of Makom as well? It was real good when it was Har Sinai and Har Moriah, and we had holiness there. That was great. Now, why is Makom being used over here as well? Okay, good. Okay. Look at source 14. That's what you've been searching for. Based on our pasuk, based on where we started today, vayifga b'makom, lama mechinin shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'korin oto makom. Why is God called makom? Mipnei shehu mikomo shel olam ve'eino olam mikomo. Did you understand that?
God is the whole world, and the whole world is God?
No.
No, we're residing.
The world is the place. Shehumak, meaning, okay, where is God? Where is God?
Out of the world.
The world exists in God, not in God exists in
the world. Right. Right. So again, you have a problem. Where is God? You try to locate God, you have a very hard time locating God. And by definition, God is something which is metaphysical, and by definition, we exist in a physical place, and trying to find something metaphysical in a physical place is difficult. They say that when, during the great propaganda in the Cold War, when one of the first cosmonauts went up into space and walked in space, they asked him, what did you see? So he said, I'll tell you what I didn't see. I didn't see God. Right? And that was supposed to be some kind of great victorious, statement, for the great atheistic culture. Now, by the way, if they would have seen God, no, I'm saying that that's an absurdity, you see God, which means if he would have seen something there, that would have disproved all of Judaism. Judaism doesn't believe. You can go to heaven and wave to God, how you doing, it's been a while, and so on. Come and visit sometime. The whole idea of God is something which is not play. I mean, God does not exist within time and space and matter. And over here, what are we told? We're told that God does not exist within the makom, but rather, the whole world exists within God. It's a complete reverse relationship. We'll read it again. Why do we call God's name Makom? That ultimately God is where the world is, not that God is within the world. Now, you mentioned a moment ago that we use the phrase hamakom, at least the first usage that came to you was the usage that you say when somebody is sitting shiva. Right, the very last source, if you were ever not completely clear what the phrase is. Source 5, Hamakom yinachem etchem betoch avlei tzion v'Yerushalayim. Last source, right? 26. Hamakom yinachem etchem betoch avlei or shar avlei tzion v'Yerushalayim. Now, we use the term makom when somebody is mourning. Now, why are we using the word makom? And it's also interesting, may God comfort you together with all the comforters of those that are mourning for the Beit HaMikdash, for the makom, which itself is very interesting, because if that's where the use of makom is, then why did this replacement take place?
Are there other uses?
Yes. Which obviously we have to see. Here Makom is Hashem, yeah. May God comfort you. That's what it means. May God comfort you. Tenachemu min Hashemayim. And what do the British say? The British say the...
Well, it could be, may God comfort you, but it could be,
only God can comfort you. In Source 15, the Maharsha writes... Avol midar HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'ein lo geder b'makom ki malei kol ha'aretz kvodo ki hu mekomo she'olan ve'ein ha'olam mekomo. Right? Malei kol ha'aretz kvodo, that there, not that God is everything and God is there is godliness in everything. Which means wherever you go, you should be able to see godliness, both in terms of places, in terms of people, in terms of things. There is godliness in everything. But if you think everything is God, then you just now crossed over a line to idolatry. Right? It's not that God is everything. There is godliness. Why is there godliness everywhere? Because everything is within God. Read it again. God's glory is everywhere. Look at Source 16, the Siach Yitzchak. Siach Yitzchak is from Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. He was one of the people that really publicized the Vilna Gaon's writings, although he was never a direct student. He was a student of a student. For whom Asher Yaakov Avinu b'maras sulam v'nei sulam mutzav arza, remez kol ma shekatuv shehu kar hitpashtut gilui kavod ma'achoto yitbarach u'mimshalto v'himtziu v'hishkachato al nivrav. Shenivrav b'seder shtalshut ha'madregot zu tachat zu mibereshit himshachato shehu mikisei kvodo yitbarach ad makom ha'mikdash. He was able to somehow discern and to see how godliness gets from heaven, from wherever God is, to the place of the Mikdash. Makom hashrat shechinato yitbarach, where God's glory spreads out to the world. Asher shem shochav Yaakov Avinu, k'masher ketuv v'yifka b'makom, v'hu mikomo shel olam, v'gam makom ha'nivchar b'har Moria, sheshem reglei hasulam, sof hitpashtut ha'kav hazeh, וזה שכתוב מוצב ארצה וראשו מגיע שמיים וכולי, אבל מלאכי אלוקים הם האמצעים, that these are the things which bring godliness from heaven, these angels of war, ועלייתם ביורתם בו, רצה לומר על ידי יעקב, בו, he understands the bow. Remember before I asked you who is it talking about? Is it talking about the sulam or is it talking about Yaakov? He says the sulam bo, שהוא כלל האומה הנבחרת לעבודתו יתברך, וכתיב הנה השם ניצב עליו, Ratzalomor ala sulam, v'chein ratzalomor al Yaakov. That it's on what Yaakov now senses, that it's not just on this place, but it's on Yaakov as well. Which means Yaakov becomes now the conduit whereby things can go up into heaven and things come down from heaven. V'kol inyan achad ki tzurat nishpato magia ad rosh hasulam. The soul that we have, which is made of divine stuff, and the body that we have, which is made out of the Makom HaMikdash, that itself is a sulam. Every single one of us has a sulam with an ability of reaching up into heaven and with an ability of bringing things down from heaven. Which means don't just think, oh, if I only had a sulam like Yaakov did. No. What he's saying is that that is what Yaakov now understands. Shuot chalat hamshachat akav sheshmo hagadol yitbarach hu alav v'samochlo. That the kvodo of God is there. Now,
this is based on the Vilna.
Much of this is based on the Vilna. Now, I'm not sure how clear this is yet, but now I think we could begin to make some progress and understand something else. Where's Yaakov going? Let's start all over again. Where's Yaakov going? He's going to Galut. He's going to Chutz La'aretz. So now what happens if you go to Chutz La'aretz?
Become materialistic.
You don't need... Yeah? Which means, is there Kedusha in Chutz La'aretz, or you only have to be a good Jew in Israel? Right, each person has Kedusha. But Yaakov now, who's leaving, and maybe that's part of the fear, that's part of his angst, is that he's leaving this place of holiness. And by the way, Yaakov is the only one of the Avot who's told to leave, and more than once. Avram was never told to leave. Avram was told to go to Israel. The fact that Avram left Israel at some point, I mean, the Ramban, if you recall, attacks him terribly for that. Who told you to leave? I told you to go to Israel. I didn't tell you to leave just because things got expensive. Who told you to go just because there's a drought? But by the way, Jewish history, people that leave because things got expensive, it wasn't all that good. I'm sure you remember the story of Ruth. Yeah. Leaving because there's a drought is not necessarily the best thing. Yitzchak is told not to leave. Yaakov is the one who's told to leave, which means Yaakov, to the greatest extent, represents the experience of the Jew in Galut. Now what happens? And by the way, that's a great deal of his life, is often Galut. Be it the first time he goes into Galut, which is now, or the second time, which eventually leads to Galut Mitzrayim, when he goes down, which is Yaakov's experience of Galut, or his Galut perspective, is interesting. But by the way, if you travel with Avraham, when he comes to Israel, you'll notice the word Makomi being used, both when he comes the first time, when he comes back the second time. He comes to the Makom. Each place he's looking for the holiness, he finds the holiness. And that's easy. What happens when you go to Chutz La'aretz? Where do you find the holiness when you go to Chutz La'aretz? Borough Park.
Going to
Aish,
which is very close to
Harbaya,
to get an infusion of
Kolinus
and they keep them going until
they get back. Well, he definitely needs something. Look at Surah 17. Amar Rava, Kol Shira Yecheska Ra'a Yeshayahu, Lama Yecheska Dom, Lama Yeshayahu Dom, Lama Krach Shira Tamelech. The Gemara over here is telling us something, that the experience, this prophetic experience of Yecheskel and of Yeshayahu was identical. Now, we have to be careful here. It was completely different. So how's the Gemara saying it's identical? It means the stimuli that they saw was the same stimuli. They had the same prophetic experience. Their response is completely, completely different. Now, why is the response different? Because they were coming from different places. Where is Yeshayahu coming from? Yeshayahu is a prophet who lives during the time when the Beit HaMikdash is standing. He sees the Kedusha up close. Yecheskel is somebody who's prophesizing from where? He's prophesizing from Galut, from a Beit HaMikdash which is destroyed, and from a place of Churban. See the same thing, but they see it completely differently. But the Gemara is telling you, no, what God showed them was the same thing. By Yeshayahu, we'll skip a second, source 19, what does he see? He sees the angels, and what do they say? V'karaze olzeva amar kadosh 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 Hashem tzavakot melochal aretz kavodo. What do they see? Melochal aretz kavodo. What do they see? Kadosh kadosh kadosh. Standing from the Beit HaMikdash by the Shar HaShamayim, seeing the malachim going up and down, it's relatively easy to feel and to sense kadosh 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 melochal aretz kavodo. Why is it relatively easy to feel that? Because you're standing right there. It's right in front of you. Now, Yecheskel sees the same thing. But where is he? Very, very far away. What does he see? Or sense or hear? Look at source 18. Pasuk Yudbet. even before the Yom Elai Ben Adam, it's called Rayasher Adaber Lech Kach Belovchav Vznech Hashema. I mean, take what I'm about to give you. Take what I'm about to show you. V'lech bala golal b'nei amecha v'dibarta aleim v'amart aleim kol ma Hashem elokim im yishmu v'im yechtelu. He goes and says, you're going to go and tell what you see. What does he see? V'tase'eni ruach v'shmach ray kol rash gadol baruch kavod Hashem mim komo. So that's very interesting, because here you have the use of makom, which means while Yeshayahu is in the makom kadosh, what does he sense? Meloch haaretz kavodo. While Yecheskel is far away, what does he sense? Baruch kavod Hashem, the glory of Hashem. Where does it come from? Mim komo. It's mim komo, which means they see the same thing, but they don't experience the same thing. It's obviously much easier for Yeshayahu to have a sense of Kedusha than it is for Yecheskel to have a sense of Kedusha, but Yecheskel's sense of Kedusha is, where is it coming from? Where is it emanating from? It's emanating from Mim Komo. I guess we'll skip 20. Source 21 is the Maharal. And what he's dealing with is something interesting. We know, this is something we've learned, we've discussed, we've seen, we know that when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Akein Hashem Echad. And when we say it in davening, we then say a verse afterwards, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchut Olam Va'ed. The Gemara wants to know why we say it. According to the Gemara, according to the Midrash, according to tradition, we say it because Yaakov said it. Right? See, the Gemara has, it says, how can we say it if Moshe didn't say it? It's not in Devarim. Devarim, it just says Shema Yisrael V'Hafta. It doesn't say Baruch Shem. So if Moshe didn't say it, how can we say it? But if Yaakov did say it, how can we not say it? So what's the compromise? You say it quietly. That's a compromise. And by the way, many times in halacha you'll find you say something softly as a compromise between saying it and not saying it. Okay, this is not the only time that you find compromise in halacha. Ah, so why do we say it out loud in Yom Kippur? So there's a couple things. Why do we say it out loud in Yom Kippur? One reason is because it was said in the Beit HaMikdash. The whole idea of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto is said in the Beit HaMikdash as a response to what? To what we call Gilui Shechina, when God's name is said, when God's magical, mystical name is said, what's the response? Baruch Shem Kavod Malchut Olam Ve'ed, which means the Kohen Gadol will say God's name, and we respond. And by the way, you see that in the prayers of Yom Kippur. It's very clear that it's there. In the Avodah, Ana Hashem, right? And then Kol Am Korim Mishtachavim Va'omrim Baruch Shem Kavod Malchut Olam Ve'ed, which means Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto is a response to the Gilui Shechina, which is. Right? Now, in Chutz La'aretz, Gilui Shechina is a little difficult. The Maharal goes over here. Okay, I'll do it quick before I get to the Maharal. In Source 20, Imoli Mikra Kotov Eiv Shar La'omro. Amr Yishim Ben Lakish, he says that if it weren't a verse, I couldn't say it. It says, Ha'aretz Ashata Shochev Aleha, my rabuta, Amr of Yitzchak Melamed Shakafla Kadosh Baruch Hu the Kol Eretz Yisrael V'nicha Tachet Yaakov Avinu. And the reasoning here is Shetei Nochal Lekvosh Levanav, that when Yaakov was laying down, where is he laying? Which part of Israel was he in? So now you have the answer. What was it? It was all Israel was right there together. Which now, of course, should remind us of those various of the various. Let's see how long it takes you to go away for Shabbos. It reminds us of the various midrashim about God taking the different pieces and putting it together, and creating man. It then continues. Amalo, this is what Yaakov is later on when he comes back to Israel and he wrestles with the angel, and the angel says, "Let me go because it's daybreak." And Yaakov says, "Why are you afraid of daybreak? What are you a robber or something that once you know?" Daybreak comes, you have to go hide. Amala malachani, miyom shenevreti, lo higiyaz mani lomar shira ad achshav. Right? And I never said shira. This is my turn to say shira. Right? Shalosh kitot. Right. So one opinion is Shalosh kitot malchei sheret or mishir b'chol yom. Achad omer kadosh, v'achad omer kadosh, v'achad omer kadosh. Three different groups of angels. One says kadosh, another group then responds and says kadosh, and the third one says kadosh. V'kora ze olze v'amar kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. There needs to be a kora ze olze. It's what do you call this? It's in chorus. It's a choir. It's a chorus. That's the image of what you get. Okay, that's the v'kora ze olze v'amar. Okay. Chaviven Yisrael fenei kadosh baruch hu yoter melachei sharet. The Gemara says God likes Jews more than angels. Shisrael omrim shira b'chol yom, u'malchei sharet omrim shira ela pamachat b'yom. We say shira all the time, they don't say it once. And it goes into more details. And then it goes on, v'yisrael miskirin et Hashem achar shtei tevot, shenemar, shma Yisrael Hashem. Shma Yisrael Hashem. We can say God's name after two words. What about the angels? U'malchei sharet, ein maskirin et shem, elu achar gimel tevot. As it says, kadosh, 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 Hashem tzivakot. That means one word better than the angels. It takes them three words to get to God's name. But what's God's name? God's name is what creates the Shechinah. That's the Giloi Shechinah. Even to say God's name creates the Giloi Shechinah. Beit El, and by the way, there are people who will say Beit Kel, who will not say Beit El. Beit El is a house for God. The saying of God's name creates this Giloi Shechinah. Now we go back to what Maharal is concerned with in Source 21. He goes on, he says that Yaakov is Kadosh. Befrat leYaakov shehaya kadosh kmo shebe'anu zeh b'makom acher, dechtiv ikdishu et kadosh Yaakov. Ulechein b'makom kadosh kmo beit ha-mikdash, onim gam kein baruch shem kavod malchuto. Which means normally we can't say baruch shem, but Yaakov can say baruch shem. Why can Yaakov say baruch shem? Because Yaakov is kadosh. In a place of holiness, we can say it. Ulechach Yaakov shehaya kadosh ro'oi lo'lom baruch shem kavod malchuto olam v'ed, v'ad ka'asher shema min banav shema Yisrael shema keno shem achad. That means, Am Yisrael, his children say Shema Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is after three. But Yaakov says Baruch Shem Kavod Machato. Now let me ask you a question. When this whole thing takes place, where is Yaakov?
In Egypt.
He's in Egypt. So what are we talking about? Yaakov is in Egypt, which means this should be really Mimkomo. This should not be Gilui Shechinah. But Yaakov, nonetheless, is Kadosh. Now, where does this Kedusha come from? Ah, so it's the... ah, so, correct. Let's look at Source 23. Let's look at Source 23. Vayisa Yisrael. This is when he goes into Galut the next time, which means this whole thing we've been reading about today is the first time Yaakov goes into Galut and what he experiences and what he sees and what he's told. So let's compare that to the next time when Yaakov goes into Galut. Vayisa Yisrael v'chol asher lo, and it's fascinating, he's called Yisrael here. V'yavo be'era shava, v'yizbach zvachim l'lokei avi Yitzchak. V'yomer Elokim l'Yisrael b'marat halayla v'yomer, Yaakov, Yaakov, v'yomer hineni. Figure that out. V'yomer anochi, again you get the nochi, hakel Elokei avicha, al tira mirada mitzrayma, ki l'goy gelo asm chasham. Anochi ered imcha mitzrayma va'anochi alcha. Which means God says, I will be with you. Now, what exactly does that mean, that I will be with you? So that's what the Mechilta says in Source 24. Kach Yisrael kish yordu l'mitzrayim yorda shechina imahim. Sheneemar, anochi ered imcha. Why? Anochi ered imcha mitzrayma, alu alat shechina imahim shenemar, v'anochi alecha gam ale. That means that where the Jews go, the shechina is with them. Now the problem is, you don't always feel that. The problem is, you don't always sense that. Yaakov, who's given this guarantee, he understands this. Which means there is a sense of makom, and even hamakom, which is the place of the Beit HaMikdash, which is a place of holiness. And then there are times that we lose Makom, we wander, and what do we then have in its place? Of the Makom, what do we have in its place? Then we have HaMakom, Hashem. Hashem's revelation as HaMakom. Which means when we have the place itself, you're able to look at the place, see the place, touch the place, feel the place, and have this kedusha. Yaakov going into Chutz La'aretz needs this sense of kedusha. And you know what? We can say it here. There are no Israelis listening. Jews from Chutz La'aretz have a greater sense of kedusha tamakom than people who were brought up here. I'm being serious about this. I'm being serious about this. And how many people, when they come to move to Israel, they say, no, I have to live in Yerushalayim. Why? There's lots of nice places in Afula. It's a lot cheaper. I mean, why Yerushalayim? Because there's this sense that we need to live somehow near. If we're already going to come, we need to be near the Makom Kadosh. Yaakov is there. But Yaakov is a Galut Jew. Yaakov is a person who's where the galut is so much a part, including being taken advantage of in business and so on and so forth, and being the victim of anti-Semitism, and being the victim of too much love. He's a victim of both. Yaakov is the person who's going to have the whole galut experience. He's the one who connects to Makom. Now, connecting to Makom, you can do when you're in the place. You can stand there. You can feel it. You can experience it. But then there are times that you leave. And then when you leave, what takes the place of the Makom? That's when God becomes HaMakom. That's the Nevuah of Yechezkel. That's Mimkomo. That's when we can't see God, but we know that ultimately, it's not that God is in the world. Again, when you look around and things are bad, and you suffer, and you're in pain, and you feel alienated, and you feel a sense of connectiveness. You're wandering. So at those points, a person says, where is God? And what's ultimately the answer? Where is God in this world? What was the answer that we got to that question? It's not that God is in the world. The world is within God. It's that ultimately the whole world is in God, and that's something that you need to feel. And if you feel that, then you get connected again. Yaakov Avinu feels that, so much so that even in the Galut of Egypt, what's he able to say? Baruch Shem, as if he's standing in the Beit HaMikdash. Because God says to him, I'm going to go with you. Which means the sense of Makom go with. When we feel alienation, when we stand with somebody who's lost somebody, there is a little less kedusha in the world because someone's like, what do we say to them? We say HaMakom. We use the word HaMakom. But when we say the word HaMakom, the comfort involved in the Makom is this insistence that even when we don't sense God, even when we don't feel God, we know deep inside of us that wherever we go into Galut, the Shekhinah is with us. You don't see the Makom Kadosh? Realize that we ourselves, the Sulam is Yaakov. The Sulam is Yaakov. Yaakov is what has the ability of going up and down. Which means it's the prayers of Am Yisrael who have the ability of going up and down. When we understand that within each and every individual is a Tzelem Elokim, and each and every body is made out of the Makom Kadosh, then we begin to realize that ultimately God is the Makom, and we exist within the Makom. And if you realize that you exist within the Makom, then there should be complete comfort, and then there should be no more fear, and then there should be no more of these things that haunt us. And that's the comfort of HaMakom, which means of getting to the point of internalizing that ultimately, even when I don't see God, that is what's supposed to ground me. And even when I don't have a place, a makom, which is makayemoti, ultimately God is hamakom. And that's, I exist within God, and I exist within something which is holy, and that's supposed to give us this incredible amount of comfort. This is what Yaakov needs when he's going off into Galut. He needs a sense of makom, but Yaakov apparently is able to internalize it to the point that he can sit in the Galut of Mitzrayim and still feel as if he's standing in the Beit HaMikdash. Shabbat Shalom. That's why he's Vayit. It's connected, yes. He's feeling.